This is a Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, October 27th, 2016. Coming up this hour,
Deutsche Bank reports a surprise profit on gains in trading revenue.
We speak to IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde about concerns over Brexit.
Tesla shares gain as the company posts its first profit in 8 quarters.
The DNC is suing the RNC after Donald Trump's rigged election claims. Plus, the Mosul offensive is entering its 11th day. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The World Series going to Chicago tied at 1 after the Cubs won Game 2 in Cleveland. The Nets lost their season opener in Boston. The Rangers won. The Islanders lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning, little change to lower. S&P E-mini futures down almost 2 points. Dow E-mini futures down 13. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 5. The DAX in Germany's down 0.3%. The CAC in Paris down 0.6%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.3% today. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong is down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32. The yield 1.81%. The yield on the 2-year 0.87%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 8 cents to $49.26 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.40 to $12.69 an ounce. The euro $1.0913 and the yen 104.69.
We are getting quarterly results this morning from some closely watched European banks. Bloomberg's Mark Barton is here live with details from our London bureau. Good morning, Mark.
Bob and Karen, good morning. Deutsche Bank unexpectedly returning to profit in the third quarter. Chief Executive John Krein continuing to lower costs, and the securities unit reported a jump in revenue. Krein struggled to stem a slide in shares and maintain client confidence after the U.S. Department of Justice's requested $14 billion to settle a probe into faulty securities. Barclays says profit rose 35% in the third quarter, beating estimates. Revenue from fixed income trading surged to the highest in more than 2 years, fixed income revenue climbing 40%, the surge echoing the performance of the major five U.S. investment banks, which collectively posted a 49% jump in revenue from that business. And the U.K. economy grew faster than economists forecast in the third quarter, with services single-handedly ensuring resilience against any Brexit fallout. The 0.5% expansion was better than the 0.3% median forecast of economists in a Bloomberg survey. Mark Barton, Bloomberg Daybreak London.
All right, Mark, thank you. The British trade minister says London-based banks probably will lose their so-called passporting rights once the UK leaves the European Union. Passporting allows lenders and insurance companies in the UK to sell their services anywhere in the EU's single market. Following that news, International Monetary Fund Managing Director Christine Lagarde sat down for an interview with Bloomberg to discuss the uncertainty over Brexit.
You know, what is damaging first and foremost is the uncertainty. What will be the relationship? Will the financial institutions, which have been the strength of the city in London, continue to benefit their passport to continue to deal with the rest of the European Union, particularly the Eurozone? Where will be the centres of European banking strength, supervision, and all the rest of it? That's what's really undermining the current situation.
IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde also called the situation over Brexit, quote, not healthy.
Equities in Asia finished the day mostly lower. Bloomberg Sherian has the details from our Hong Kong bureau.
Bob, Karen, the theme of Asian trading was a slew of earnings out of the region as investors assessed a mixed batch of reports. The heaviest weighted stock on the KOSPI, Samsung, rose after reporting earnings, helping boost the index by 0.5%. In Japan, the Nikkei reversed 3 days of gains to lose 0.3% as investors weighed earnings from Nintendo to Oryx. The Shanghai Composite fell for a second day, down 0.1%, with the declines being led by telecoms and energy stocks. Sherry Ann, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Sherry. Nomura's second quarter profit jumped 31% as a surge in trading income made up for a slump in brokerage commissions and investment banking. Net income climbed to $585 million, beating analyst estimates of $429 million.
Here in the U.S., Tesla Motors posted a surprise profit, Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports. It's the company's first profit in eight quarters.
It came just weeks after CEO Elon Musk urged employees to cut costs and deliver every car they could to boost results and prove Wall Street skeptics wrong. Third quarter profit, excluding some items, was 71 cents a share. The forecast had been for a 54 cent share loss in a survey of seven analysts that was complicated by changes in the way Tesla reports. The results provide some vindication for Musk, who has pushed employees to improve performance ahead of a November 17th shareholders vote on the proposed merger with SolarCity. That deal has drawn criticism as a potential distraction as Tesla spends heavily to prepare its California factory for the high-volume Model 3 car. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. And Tesla shares are up 4.5% in early trading.
Apple has announced its first hardware-related postponement in more than 5 years. Bloomberg's John Tucker is here live with more. Good morning, John.
And Karen, Apple announced that its AirPods wireless headphones will no longer ship this month as planned. The AirPods were introduced in September alongside the iPhone 7. Apple didn't provide a technical reason for the delay or a new shipping date. An Apple spokesman said, "We don't believe in shipping a product before it's ready, and we need a little more time before AirPods are ready for our customers." Reviews of pre-production models of the AirPods suggested the device needed some fine-tuning. Apple shares up 0.3% via the pre-market. Karen and Bob.
John Tucker, thank you. It's a busy week for earnings. It continues today with 61 companies in the S&P 500 reporting results. They include Ford Motor, UPS, Amazon.com, and Google parent Alphabet. And futures this morning are lower. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street, this hour of Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Mount Kisco Volvo. Visit MountKiscoVolvo.com. It's the Democrats versus the Republicans in court. Let's bring in Michael Barr now with the latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The Democratic National Committee is accusing its Republican counterpart of violating a 1982 court order intended to prevent voter intimidation. The DNC has filed papers in federal court saying the RNC has supported the efforts of presidential candidate Donald Trump's campaign to intimidate and discourage minority voters from voting in the 2016 presidential election. An RNC spokesperson says the filing is completely meritless. Donald Trump is criticizing a military leader who appeared on TV to analyze the war against the Islamic State group. Trump told ABC when it comes to the battle for Mosul, quote, "You can tell your military expert that I'll sit down and I will teach him a couple of things." Trump has been criticizing the fact that the battle was advertised in advance. Yesterday, Trump officially opened his new hotel in Washington, D.C. He spoke with Bloomberg's Mark Halperin.
What it really says is you can do things under budget and great work. This would be one of the great hotels of the world. Under budget, ahead of schedule. Our country has to do things under budget and ahead of schedule.
Hillary Clinton, talking to reporters on her campaign plane, was asked about the big merger between AT&T and Time Warner, which still needs government approval.
Look, I think it raises questions and concerns, and they should be looked into. I hear the Congress will start having bipartisan hearings, which I think is appropriate.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has canceled his planned trip to Brussels to sign an EU-Canada free trade agreement. The move comes as Belgium's Wallonia region continues to oppose the accord. Bloomberg's Jonathan Stearns has more from Strasbourg.
At this stage in the European ratification drama, the question is less about whether the Belgians will come on board as about when they will. But the longer it takes, the more doubts will surface about whether the EU can remain a reliable trade force in the world during a period when the United Kingdom plans to leave the bloc and many citizens are questioning its relevance. Jonathan Stearns for Bloomberg Daybreak, Strasbourg.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Ray Katina Porsche Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, John Stashower.
All right, good morning, Bob. As if the Cubs needed more help after being the best team in baseball all year. In the World Series, they have brought back to their lineup Kyle Schwarber, their young slugger who tore up his knee in the second game of the season, hadn't played since. Last night, Schwarber with run-scoring singles in the third and fifth innings as the Cubs won a series game for the first time in 71 years. 5-1 in Cleveland.
Obviously, a lot of excitement. There was a lot of emotion there. You know, obviously, a thousand things running through my head. Just, you know, I really don't remember that moment. It was just, it was that crazy for me going in my head. You know, I'm still baffled about it. It was a good moment for me.
Indians had only four hits, none until the sixth inning off Jake Arrieta. Cub relievers Mike Montgomery and Aroldis Chapman worked the last three and a third. First home loss of the postseason for the Indians. First World Series loss for their manager, Terry Francona. He had been 9-0. The series is tied at 1. Game 3 is at Wrigley Field tomorrow night. You can hear it on Bloomberg 1130. As expected, reports say Yoenis Cespedes will opt out of the last 2 years of his contract with the Mets. He'll seek a longer deal as a free agent. Could be a long season for the Brooklyn Nets and their opener in Boston. They cut a 23-point deficit to 3, but fell short 122-117. Nets set a club record, hoisting up 44 three-point shots. They made 15 of them. At the Garden, third straight win for the Rangers. Down 2-0, they scored 3 goals second period, 2 more in the third. They beat Boston 5-2. Pair of goals for Brandon Peary. And Brooklyn Islanders lost to league-leading Montreal 3-2 on a Shea Weber goal. With 3 minutes left, the Canadiens are off to a 6-0-1 start. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob.
Thanks, John. And Brooklyn Nets guard Jeremy Lin is making a $1 million donation to Harvard. The money will pay for undergraduate financial aid and renovations to the school's basketball arena. Lin says his time at Harvard prepared him to be successful both on and off the court, and he wants to put the same opportunities within reach of other deserving students. S&P E-mini futures down 3 points right now. That is a 0.1%. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report brought to you by Ray Katina Porsche. The Porsche Macan is built around the belief that every car should be a sports car. See the 2017 Porsche Macan at Ray Katina Porsche in Edison and the new Porsche Toms River, a Ray Katina dealership.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moskow. This update's brought to you by Hartford Funds, where they believe in human-centric investing because no matter how far technology advances, investors will always be humans first. We continue to watch for earnings today with more than 60 companies scheduled to report. They include Aetna, Dow Chemical, Bristol-Myers, Ford, Twitter, Blackstone Group, UPS, Amgen, Amazon.com, Google parent Alphabet, and LinkedIn. Baidu also reports. And UK gilts are leading a sell-off in government bonds, and the dollar is rising as investors add to bets that central banks around the world will become less accommodative as the economy strengthens. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. U.S. stock index futures are little changed to lower, with S&P E-mini futures down 1.5 points, Dow E-mini futures down 9, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 5. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, the yield 1.81%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 16 cents to $49.33 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $2.90 to $12.69.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.0917, the yen 104.70. And at 8:30 Wall Street time, we get a look at durable goods orders and the weekly report on initial jobless claims. At 9:45, it's the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index. And then at 10, pending home sales. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. So far, millions of votes that have been cast already in the U.S. presidential election point to an advantage for Hillary Clinton over Donald Trump in critical battleground states. Data compiled by the Associated Press also show signs of Democratic strength in traditionally Republican territory. Clinton is showing strength in North Carolina, as well as the battleground states of Nevada, Colorado, and Arizona. Early voting is underway in 37 states. Officials in central Italy have begun assessing the damage caused by a pair of strong earthquakes in the same region hit by a deadly quake in August. Thousands of people spent the night in their cars following the tremors that struck last night. In sports, the World Series is now even at a game apiece. The Cubs beat the Indians last night 5-1. Game 3 heads to Chicago tomorrow. for our New York audience. Bloomberg 1130 will carry the game live. In the NBA, the Nets lost to the Celtics for their season opener, 122-117. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Bruins 5-2. The Islanders lost. The Ducks won. The Capitals lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Michael, thanks very much. The UK economy grew faster than economists forecast in the third quarter, with services single-handedly ensuring resilience against any Brexit fallout. The 0.5% expansion was better than the 0.3% median forecast of economists in a Bloomberg survey. And so we call upon Robert Wood, chief UK economist at Merrill Lynch, on the line with us from London. Good morning and welcome. Was there hand-wringing about this number to the point that we should have been worried about it and now is all right with the world?
Immediately after the referendum, the outlook for the UK, I think, worsened quite considerably. So, yes, immediately there was a lot of hand-wringing about this. I, for one, revised down my forecast a lot, and so did a lot of other people. I think what happened after that was a lot of steadying events in the UK. We had a much faster-than-expected election of Theresa May as Prime Minister. Triggering Article 50 was delayed. The Bank of England took some steadying actions as well. I think all of those actually limited the downside. So, relative to my pre-release forecast today, I mean, this was 0.1 higher than expected. I think some solid growth in the third quarter had become likely, and we've got some confirmation of that. What it doesn't tell us at all, is anything at all about where the UK is heading from here. It's great news that we've avoided an immediate sharp downturn, but we also know that there's some negative news coming. For instance, Sterling's fall will push up in inflation and hurt consumer spending quite considerably as we go through the coming months and year.
So you're suggesting that the Brexit effect may take time to filter through the economy?
I think that's absolutely right. What we had to start with was a very short, sharp recession. A very short recession, not a sharp one, followed by a recovery. What I think the UK is looking at now is a much more spread out, prolonged, delayed Brexit hit. It hasn't gone away. It's just going to come next year.
Does this report mean the Bank of England is less likely to cut interest rates again?
I think it probably makes it a little bit less likely to cut interest rates. We hadn't expected it to cut in November. I'm looking for another cut in February. I don't think this really brings that into question. But of course, the stronger growth is, and if it remained strong, for instance, then that would have a bearing on the Bank of England.
You know, I found one of the interesting data points in this report. Services surged 0.8%, offsetting declines in construction and production. The sector's performance was helped by box office receipts for summer movies. So could it be that Jason Bourne and the crew from Star Trek saved the day here?
Well, it could well be that Jason Bourne has saved the day for the UK in the summer, but I don't know if he's planning to release another film in the fourth quarter. That could certainly be a problem.
Where would you see services going from here?
I think, like most of the rest of the economy, I'd see it slowing down. Some of services is going to be consumer services, which should weaken as consumers find that as inflation picks up and their wages don't, that they have less money to spend, or at least their money goes less far. So I think services growth will slow gradually. And what we're likely to see is a continuation of this quarter's pattern of very weak construction. That's one area you would expect to be hit by Brexit uncertainty and uncertainty among households.
Does this tell us anything about how the European Central Bank might respond?
I don't think it has that much bearing on the ECB, to be frank. Of course, it's another little bit of upside in the very near term for growth. But as I say, I don't think this figure is going to change the way, for instance, the Bank of England looks at the outlook. They will be looking at it and say, well, this is great. Growth was okay in the third quarter. But if we look forwards, there are a lot of headwinds that are going to hit the UK and probably slow growth quite considerably. And that outlook, whilst it's delayed, hasn't changed particularly in magnitude.
Just briefly here in the 20 seconds we have remaining, where would you see sterling at the end of the year?
Well, I think our sterling forecast is currently for a small rise from here. I mean, what I would say is I think it's obviously very uncertain where sterling heads, and it depends quite heavily on what politicians say and do from here. And we've seen an example of that earlier this month with Theresa May's words. So watch them carefully.
Robert Wood, chief UK economist at Merrill Lynch, speaking to us from London. Thanks very much. S&P E-mini futures right now down 2 points. That is less than a tenth of 1%. Dow E-minis lower by 9 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures down by 6 points. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by your Mercedes-Benz Tri-State dealer. When it comes to weathering the elements, put your best four wheels forward with Mercedes-Benz 4MATIC all-wheel drive. Visit your local Mercedes-Benz dealer for a test drive today.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by New York Community Bank and New York Commercial Bank, the NYCB family of banks. Bank with confidence anywhere you see the NYCB logo. Visit nycbfamily.com.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. A slew of positive bank earnings out this morning. Deutsche Bank unexpectedly returning to profit in the third quarter as Chief Executive John Cryan continued to lower costs. And the securities unit reported a jump in revenue. Net income was $279 million. Analysts had expected a $429 million loss.
Profit at Barclays rose 35% as revenue from fixed income trading surged to the highest level in more than 2 years. Pre-tax profit climbed to $1 billion from $756 million a year earlier.
And in Tokyo, Nomura's second quarter profit was up 31% as higher than expected trading income made up for a slump in brokerage commissions and investment banking. Net income at the bank climbed to $585 million.
Here in the U.S., Apple says its wireless AirPod headphones will not ship this month as planned. A spokesperson for the company said it needs more time before the headphones are ready for customers. Apple had been expected to announce a release date for the AirPods today at an event for its updated Mac computer line.
Amazon.com is scheduled to report quarterly results today. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Analysts are overwhelmingly bullish on the online superstore. Amazon gets 44 buy ratings, just 5 hold ratings, and no sell ratings. Bloomberg Intelligence says third quarter sales growth was likely driven by a 60% increase in Prime Day unit sales, a strong showing by the company's web service business, and an increase in the number of Prime members. Shipping costs, content spending, and big investments in India may have weighed on Amazon's bottom line. An adjusted profit of $2.03 a share is predicted, with revenue coming in at more than $32.5 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Jeff. Shares of electric car maker Tesla are up 4.7% in early trading after the company posted an unexpected profit for the first time in 2 years. The company reported net income of $22 million. Tesla also said it expects to make it through the rest of the year without raising additional capital.
Futures this morning are little changed to lower. S&P E-mini futures down 2 points, Dow E-mini futures down 12, and NASDAQ E-mini futures are down 4, and the 10-year Treasury down 6/32, the yield 1.81%. NYMEX crude oil is higher. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. This hour of Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Westchester Subaru. Visit westchestersubaru.com. The Democrats take the Republicans to court. Let's bring in Michael Barr with that story and more. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. The Democratic Party has asked a federal judge to stop what it alleges is an effort by Republicans to engage in voter intimidation. Court papers filed yesterday say the Republican National Committee and the Donald Trump campaign are attempting to intimidate and discourage minority voters. Trump has recently been urging his supporters to monitor polling places on Election Day. Meanwhile, Donald Trump campaigned in North Carolina last night during a stop in Kinston. Trump talked about crime.
I have a message for the cartels, the drug dealers, and the gang members. When I win, your long reign of crime and terror will come crashing to an end quickly.
Hillary Clinton, while talking to reporters on her campaign plane, took a swipe at Donald Trump for taking a break from the campaign trail yesterday to open his new hotel in Washington, D.C.
Donald Trump is actually paying more attention to his business than to the campaign. That's his choice, but we're going to keep working really hard to reach as many voters as possible.
A new Associated Press GFK poll finds that Hillary Clinton leads Trump by 14 percentage points among likely voters. The Australian theme park where four people died on a ride this week remains closed. The Dreamland Park is defending its safety record after Tuesday's fatal accident on a river raft ride. Police said no to reopening the park for now on Queensland's state's Gold Coast. It has been closed as a crime scene since four people died when their raft flipped on the ride. Spain's acting Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy faces a confidence vote today. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo has more from Madrid.
While Rajoy is not expected to win the vote today, he is expected to win his second and final vote on Saturday that will see him become Prime Minister for the second time. Maria Tadeo, Bloomberg Daybreak, Madrid.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Thank you very much. And Michael brings us to 5:35 on Wall Street. That is time for your Ray Katina Porsche Bloomberg NBC Sports Update and John Stashower. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. The Cubs, first World Series win since 1945. It was 5-1 in Cleveland the night after the Cubs were held scoreless on seven hits. The Indians scored only once on just four hits, none until the sixth inning when they were already down 5-0. And the question was how long Jake Arrieta might pursue Don Larson, who still owns the only World Series no-hitter.
I knew that I hadn't given up a hit. You know, all the way to the sixth, was it through 5 1/3, but that's really not the focus in a game like this. You want to just try and continue to pile up outs as often as you possibly can. And whether they get a hit or not really doesn't affect the way you continue to approach that lineup.
Cubs took the lead in the first inning, a double by Anthony Rizzo. Kyle Schwarber with the first of his two run-scoring hits in the third. They tacked on three runs in the fifth. Ben Zobrist with an RBI triple. He's already got five hits in the series, which is headed to Wrigley Field. Should be a wild weekend on the north side of Chicago. Game three tomorrow night. You can hear it on Bloomberg 1130. The Nets open the season in Boston. New coach Kenny Atkinson evidently stressing three-point shooting. Nets took a team record 44 threes, made 15 of them. They cut a 23-point deficit to three, but lost to the Celtics 122-117. Bojan Bogdanovic, high scorer with 21. Among the other openers, Denver won at New Orleans. In the loss, Anthony Davis, 50 points for the Pelicans. The Garden, third straight win for the Rangers, 5-2 over Boston. Brandon Peary scored twice. Islanders were going for a third win in a row. Shea Weber, though, scored late. Montreal won 3-2. At the Barclays Center with Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Bob.
Thank you, John. This morning at 8:30 Wall Street time, the government issues data on manufacturing and the labor market. Economists forecast that factory orders for durable goods probably showed little change in September, while jobless claims remain close to a four-decade low, I should say. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has the story from the First Word Desk.
The impact of the strong dollar and lackluster capital spending continue to roil American factories. In August, for example, shipments of capital equipment declined for the fourth consecutive month. Inventories have also been high relative to sales. The labor market has been another story, mostly positive. Jobless claims have been below 300,000 for 85 consecutive weeks, the longest since 1970. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. That brings us to 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for your T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report, and we check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, Bob. Home prices in New York's Hamptons fell the most in almost 3 years as buyers in the beachfront towns look for bargains. A report by appraiser Miller Samuel and brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate finds homes in the area sold for a median of $825,000 over the summer. That's down 13% from a year earlier, the biggest drop since the end of 2013. The New Jersey Transportation Trust Fund sold $2.7 billion in tax-exempt bonds Wednesday, the most since 2006, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. The securities will be repaid with money New Jersey is set to receive from the Federal Highway Administration rather than state revenue. The sale comes shortly after lawmakers approved a gas tax increase for transportation projects. And IBM will expand its disaster recovery services with an acquisition of privately held Synovi Technologies. For an undisclosed amount, Sanofi provides hybrid cloud recovery, migration, and business continuity software for enterprise data centers and cloud infrastructure. That's your T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Thank you, Ed. Samsung Electronics is reporting a 17% slump in third-quarter profit amid recent troubles with its fire-prone Galaxy Note 7 smartphone. The weak results come on the same day Samsung's vice chairman gains expanded corporate power. Bloomberg's Rosalind Chin reports from Hong Kong.
Vice Chairman Yi Jae-yong, son of the current chairman, officially joined the board of Samsung Electronics, giving him a much bigger say over top management and strategy, including restructuring, mergers and asset sales. The company had reported third-quarter net profit of $3.9 billion, a drop of 17% as the Note 7 smartphone crisis took its toll. Operating profit at Samsung's mobile unit was $87.8 million, down from $2.1 billion a year earlier. Other areas didn't fare too badly, though. Operating profit for semiconductors was nearly $3 billion, and at its displays division, increased to nearly $900 million. Rosalind Chin, Bloomberg, Hong Kong.
Thank you, Rosalind. Volkswagen has suffered a setback in its year-long effort to rebound from the diesel emissions scandal. VW's biggest profit contributor, Audi, has cut its outlook. That's because of costs related to the emissions scandal and recalling cars with defective airbags. Audi says its return on sales will be considerably below its target of 8 to 10%. S&P E-mini futures down 3 points right now. That is a tenth of 1%. The pound trading lower by 0.25% at $1.2220, and the yen at 104.66. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And your Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by T2 Computing, a new kind of IT solutions company for workflow, mobility, and infrastructure. Let them explain how their expertise can help you gain greater business value. Visit T2Computing.com for more information.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We continue to watch for earnings today. More than 60 companies are scheduled to report, and they include Google parent Alphabet and Amazon.com, just to name a few. Futures this morning are little changed to lower. S&P E-mini futures down 2.5 points, Dow E-mini futures down 15, and NASDAQ E-mini futures down 5.5. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, the yield 1.81%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 17 cents to $49.35 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4% or $4.50 to $12.71, 10 an ounce. The euro, $1.0916, and the yen, 104.67. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the Democratic National Committee has filed papers in federal court against the Republican National Committee. The DNC is accusing the RNC of violating a 1982 court order intended to prevent voter intimidation. In sports, the Cubs beat the Indians last night to even the World Series at the Game of Peace. Game 3 heads to Chicago tomorrow for our New York audience. Bloomberg 1130 will carry the game live. In the NBA, the Nets lost to the Celtics in their season opener. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Bruins. The Islanders lost. The Ducks won. The Capitals lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. And the Bloomberg ETF report is brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. What makes revenue so smart? Find out at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. And here's Catherine Cowdery.
ETFs that are largely used for income have attracted about $200 billion from investors since 2009, when the Federal Reserve began its policy of keeping interest rates low. If that policy changes, some ETFs may be more vulnerable than others. Investors have turned to ETFs that focus on master limited partnerships, or MLPs. Bloomberg Intelligence analyst Eric Balchuna says they've taken in $25 billion since 2009.
How much of that is really going to stick if rates were to rise? Well, if you look at the two times they did rise in the past 5 years, most of the money stayed in there. In fact, in the 2013 rate rise, they actually took in funds. So this seems counterintuitive. So if you look at the data, though, what's interesting about MLPs is that if oil is doing well, these could actually overcome the fact that rates are going up.
That's because MLPs are largely made up of companies in the energy business, and there's more interest in them as oil prices rise. According to Balchunas, they yield anywhere from 5 to 10%. That's your Bloomberg ETF report. I'm Catherine Cowdery.
Thanks, Catherine. Both presidential candidates say they have the best plan to create more jobs should they be elected in November. But a couple of futurists say they may be forgetting a big disruption to the economy, robots and automation. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute in Boston just announced it's using a robot to deliver prescription drugs to patients. Meanwhile, Uber Technologies and Anheuser-Busch InBev have teamed up on a self-driving truck that made its first beer delivery this month. Increasingly, robots and automation are finding a place in the economy and changing the outlook for the jobs market.
There's been fears for a long time that robots would steal human jobs.
Bloomberg's Andrew Maeda.
The rise of the personal computer led to less secretarial work and so forth. But now we're seeing an acceleration of the trend towards automation. You're seeing it on the factory floor. If you go and check out your groceries, you're seeing it at the supermarket. It's expected that automation will continue to replace human jobs. But what's interesting is not just the blue-collar jobs that one would normally expect that automation would replace. There's also some relatively repetitive white-collar jobs that might be replaced going forward.
And while some are concerned about what this will ultimately mean for the nation's workforce, James Canton, chief executive of the Institute for Global Futures, has a more optimistic view.
I'm very bullish about the emerging impact of the innovation economy in creating many new jobs, in fact, millions of new jobs that we're going to need to keep pace with all of the fantastic disruptions in the economy. That means reskilling, retooling, and upskilling our workers, our students, and even our aging baby boomers.
Bloomberg's Andrew Maeda says it's a view shared by Silicon Valley, and he reminds us venture capital for tech startups was at records last year, and even though it slipped this year, high-profile firms like Uber Technologies and Snapchat are mulling initial public offerings.
It's really quite amazing if you go down to San Francisco and you drive towards San Jose and you talk to some of these entrepreneurs. I mean, they are very bullish. They tell a totally different story. They're saying, yeah, you know, some jobs are going to be replaced by automation, but there's going to be an overall increase in productivity that raises all of our standards of living.
But not everyone shares such a sunny view of the changes ahead, futurist and author Jack Aldrich.
The most common job in America today is truck drivers, and advances in autonomous robotic trucking is taking off really fast. I think it's difficult for me to see how those 3.3 million truck drivers will be rapidly retrained and given gainful employment in the economy. Will it happen over time? Yeah, it will, but it's not going to be quick. It's not going to be easy.
Aldrich says he considers this one of the greatest unaddressed issues in the presidential campaign, and he would like to hear more from the candidates, including if they're even aware of what's going on.
When they talk about being stronger together or making America great again, I mean, how are they going to do it for the people who are going to be displaced? So first, just awareness. Secondly, I would like to hear a candid conversation about how we're going to retrain these workers and what the cost of that is going to be and how they're thinking about getting these people back into the economy, those individuals who are displaced.
And futurist James Canton also stresses the need for retraining and urges all workers to be proactive so they won't be left behind as we transform into a digital global economy.
I think everybody should own their future and be a game changer of that future. And believe me, the fastest growing part of the U.S. economy is small to medium-sized business, but every size business is looking for innovators that really can be the next Google, the next Amazon, the next Baidu.
And again, Bob, just stressing, both men say that this is a trend that will affect everyone on the job spectrum, from delivery people, surgeons, even lawyers, and you and I.
Karen, thank you. Now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. Today, Bloomberg Law hosts Greg Storr and Michael Best discuss Volkswagen's nearly $15 billion U.S. settlement over the company's emissions cheating practices. They speak to John Coffey, a professor at Columbia University Law School, and Brandon Barnes, a senior litigation analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence.
John, can you summarize for us what Volkswagen has agreed to do?
Well, it's agreed to pay a total of $14.7 billion, which is high, although not a record level. $10 billion of that is being allocated to a fund to buy back the various model years between 2009 and 2015 that had these 2-liter diesel engines. There were something like 475,000 such vehicles on the road, and already well over 340,000 have registered on a website suggesting they want to stand in line and get this buyback made. So in addition, the owners of those Volkswagens can get an additional $5,000 to $10,000 for other kinds of incidental compensation or injury. So those people would be well served. At least I think so. The other class of people who are affected and may not have been quite as well served are the ordinary public who are going to breathe pollution for several more years. Volkswagen has enhanced the amount of toxic pollution in the air, and Volkswagen doesn't have to get these vehicles off the road until June of 2019. So we're going to see almost 3 more years of them being on the road with people delaying the sale or the fix. And only at that point will Volkswagen face high penalties if they haven't gotten 85% of the vehicles off the road.
Brandon, what portion of Volkswagen's legal problems does this clear up? How much is still left out there for them to deal with?
Greg, that's a good question, because it's not completely clear, because this isn't just a U.S. liability situation. Certainly this is a bulk of what they would be facing in terms of total liability, but they still have the 3.0 liter vehicles out there, which is about 80,000 cars. You know, that could be between 2 and 4 billion, depending on how you cut it. You've got EPA and DOJ liability, civil and criminal, that's hanging out there, plus shareholder liability. And, you know, in Germany, there, where a bulk of the shareholder liability resides, there's allegations that that's reaching over 9 billion euros in liability. So, I think we're probably seeing over half of total liability gone, but that's not everything, and it has a certainly a long legs that it could play out over.
That's Brandon Barnes, senior litigation analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence, and Columbia University Law School professor John Coffey. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time, right here on Bloomberg Radio.
That's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information. This is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report. Legal, tax, regulatory, and business information. Here's Patrice Sikora.
The SEC will relax rules on crowdfunding for some small securities offerings as a way to help small businesses. One change will allow some capital raisers to solicit out-of-state money. Another will raise some caps from $1 million to $5 million. Companies that collect and share consumer health information know they must comply with the HIPAA privacy rule, but they may not know they also must comply with the Federal Trade Commission Act that prohibits misleading consumers about how their data are being used. And a full 88% of employees lack the basic data privacy and cybersecurity awareness to avoid preventable security incidents. That's according to a MediaPro survey, and experts say it's another reminder of the importance of training employees in risk areas such as incident reports, working remotely, and social media.
That's today's Bloomberg BNA Report. For more on these and other stories, visit BNA.com.